Hi, everyone. My name is Josh Nason. Happy holidays. It's Josh Nason's Punch Out, WrestlingObserver.com. We survived post Christmas as you're listening to this, being recorded on Friday, December 26th. The intro, anyway. Survive Christmas Collision, Dynamite on 34th Street, opening up presents, the freezing cold. My battery in my car didn't start today. Unbelievable. All the things. We're going to wrap up this series, right? This year in review, pro wrestling year in review series. We're going to have the final descent. And we stop in the month of October. And returning guest Mike Gilbert of the Mike and JD Show, Brace for Impact. Past guest hasn't been on the last year or so, but he's now on the East Coast, made it a lot easier. So Mike and I talk about all the month in October, which included Wrestle Dream in St. Louis, of course, for AEW. The controversial Jon Moxley and Darby Allin match, I Quit. Samoa Joe turning on Hangman Page. We had NXTNA, the combination section of all these promotions that WWE either owns or is affiliated with. We talk a ton about Bound for Glory. All the things from there, being an aficionado as Mike is, we had, of course, go a little bit deeper into that. WWE, we had Crown Jewel. Major injury on that show to Seth Rollins. The irony, the coincidence, whatever you want to call it, changing all the plans. The vision turned on Seth Rollins. He lost. He was stripped of the world championship. All the things that happened after that. Of course, the best in Japan. The indie, CMLL, all over the world. Everything. Hey, we went over, I think, 500 some odd headlines I skimmed through. Maybe almost 600. It was a lot. But we get into this in this extended play edition of Josh Nason's Punch-Out. The Pro Wrestling Year Interview Series, October 2025. Myself and Mike Gilbert, let's go right about now. Well, for the first time in a long time, it's been multiple years since I talked to this guest, and really it was just time zone issues because he was used to be so far east, I guess, if you're looking on a map. However, now he's on the East Coast. I'm not great at geography. I almost said geology. That's how great this intro is. Mike Gilbert has returned for the first time in years, of course, co-host of the Mike and JD Show, and does a lot of stuff and podcasts and good stuff, always around. Welcome back, Mr. Gilbert. Been a long time. I'm glad to finally connect with you once again.
Yeah, whenever I retired from the Air Force and I was getting ready to leave Hawaii, my wife's like, where do you want to live? And I was like, well, I got to go to the East Coast. That way Josh will put me back on his show. And so I was able to find a job in Charlotte and relocated my entire family. That way we're able to do this podcast now. It's working out great.
I hope you recognize me and talk about me during Christmas.
If I mention your name, my wife's gonna throw me out. So,
how do you like Charlotte so far?
That's cool, man. I really like it. I'm actually I work in Charlotte, but what I didn't know when I was in Hawaii was that Charlotte's like right on the border of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So there's like a lake that kind of separates the two states called Lake Wylie, and I'm just on the South Carolina side of that lake, and I just go across the bridge into Charlotte. A few times a week for work. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, Carolinas are fun. I have a friend of mine lives in Charlotte, not in the city, but like in one of the suburbs. Yeah. And one of our other good friends that lives there actually lives in South Carolina. And I'm just, so we're like, oh, let's go see Justin. And I'm like, where does he live? South Carolina. I'm like, how far is that? Like, I don't know, it's like 20 minutes. Yeah. Like, really? Like, I had no idea whereabouts it was. That's great.
Yeah. Whenever it was suggested to me that I live in South Carolina, I was like, what are you talking about? Why would I move like the whole state away? But no, it's literally just across the border. It's wild.
Mm. When do the 49ers play the Panthers in the rotation?
So they already played them, but they didn't come here, which was disappointing. They played them on Monday Night Football a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. They put a hurting on them, but I was hoping that the Panthers would win the NFC South and host a playoff game. Because if they did, they'd be the number 4 seed. And where San Francisco's seeded right now, they would very likely be the number 5 seed, mm-hmm. which means San Francisco would come here. And I work, like, it's like a 10-minute walk to the stadium from where I work. And I already have, like, I got my own parking spot. Like, I pay a mm-hmm. monthly fee for my parking spot. So that would be an easy thing for me to do, would be to go up there and go see that game. But it's not looking good with the Panthers losing again. So
yeah, it's true.
We were hopeful.
Keep pounding. as Panthers fans say. Keep pounding with a random
yeah.
Sir Purr and all that whole thing. Yeah, I'm all familiar with that. But let's get back to wrestling. Of course, if you're joining us for the first time, you're a little late, but you can always catch up. We're in October. So I do one of these for every single month, different guest. And we talk all about the month and all the big headlines and so on and so forth. And I skimmed through, I think, 540 headlines for this. So we've boiled them down into some of the best and notable and things like that. So I'll go over some of these, kick these over to Mike for some of his thoughts, and we'll go about our way. So let's begin. We'll start with AEW this month. And, of course, they had WrestleDream in St. Louis, Missouri. The widow of Lou Thesz appeared and was interacting with some of the female wrestlers, I believe, on the pre-show. She got a promo with Tony Schiavone and all that as well. Mercedes Moné won her record 11th simultaneous championship. We have to keep coming up with different terms for all these various things with all these titles she's won. I cannot keep track. This being the Ring of Honor interim women's TV title, which is just tremendous. Samoa Joe and the Ops, of course, turning on Hangman Page after the main event, setting up some big things for November. Sting made his return to aid Darby Allin during his I Quit match with Jon Moxley. Tony Khan said he was more proud of WrestleDream than any show since the pandemic. And he didn't really go into why. It was an okay show, but it wasn't like an incredible show. There was a note going into this regarding no rules matches for WrestleDream due to Missouri's regulations on blood and all that. So you could have, I guess, not real blood or something, but... So there was a little bit, and then there was, of course, this fish tank spot, which is not in apparently the Missouri Wrestling Commission's rules or wherever it is. And we'll talk more about that in a few minutes, of course. And then, well, actually, Lee, we'll talk about it right now. Sarah Stock, former AEW coach, decided to do her thing on Twitter and X and criticizing the spot and got into an argument with Amanda Huber and just this whole thing. She's still going, I think. This is months later and just... log off, go outside, just do anything. It's just very, very strange. But yeah, WrestleDream, it was okay. I didn't come away from this thinking it was an incredible show. I think for me, you know, all these shows are pretty solid. It's just a question of what time they get over with and what I have to do the next day. It's going to be slightly put off because I'm going to be exhausted. But this was a fine show. It wasn't a great show, but it was a show.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, AEW shows always have like really good matches. That's what they do best. I think that they're better at that than any other promotion in the world right now. It was a really fun show. But I'll be honest, we're sitting here like a couple months later. I don't remember too much about it other than the fish tank spot and of course Samoa Joe turning on Hangman. Whereas I used to be able to tell you like everything that happened on these AEW shows, but now they're so long and there's more of them and just so many things are happening. It's really kind of hard to keep track. And it's not just an AEW problem. I think it's just, there's just so much content to consume. It's hard to memorize this stuff, but I did think that it was a pretty good show. So I'm wondering what Tony Khan actually meant about that. Maybe it was there are some logistical issues or there are some other issues with it. Like, why would he be so proud? It's not like it didn't sell a ton of tickets. It wasn't one of their bigger shows. In fact, I think, you know, we'll get to it a little bit later, but like Bound for Glory, I'm pretty sure I had more tickets out than WrestleDream did. So I don't know. I wonder what made him so proud of that.
Mm. I thought about the same thing about logistics, but it was interesting. He didn't really go into details, and sometimes he will, like on media calls, he'll talk about injuries or this happened, but he didn't really talk about that. So I'm not sure. I'm not very sure if it's just promoter speak or what.
Yeah. Funny that you brought up the widow of Lou Thesz attending. I got a little heat on Twitter by saying Lou Thesz would hate AEW, and I still stand by that. I think you would hate it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was Charlie Thesz. That's her name. Yeah, she. It's no one, of course, knows. But yeah, I mean, most not too many old wrestlers like modern anything. You know, they come around for the checks. You know,
right.
I mean, I'm sure all these, you know, legends that are watching WWE, I'm sure a lot of them are just like, this is great, but I wouldn't, you know, they're not going to say it publicly because they like getting those legends mailbox checks and things like that. And sure, the AEW, it's the same. It's just everyone has their era. Of course, anyone's done any job and people that come after them or before them, like their era was how they did it right, you know, and that's just the how life goes.
Yeah. So what I try to explain to people is like, look, my dad hated my music, couldn't stand it.
Yes.
Thought it
Yeah.
was crap. He didn't like, you know, I'm a big Deftones fan. He thought it was just screaming nonsense. He didn't like Green Day. He didn't like any of that stuff. Well, my dad was a big AC/DC fan. Well, his dad hated AC/DC, thought it was stupid, right? So every generation hates the next generation. My daughter listens to K-pop Demon Hunter like all the time, and I cannot
Yep.
stand it. Now, I'm really nice to my kids, so I don't tell her it sucks and it's stupid. You know, I'm like really polite. I just play it, and it's ruined my Apple Music algorithm. But that's just the way it is, and I don't see why anybody would get upset over that. But young people today don't really kind of understand that the older generation is going to hate the stuff that they like.
I took my daughter to her her birthday party, and she wanted to go to a trampoline jump place, which was about an hour drive. And she had a couple friends in the back, and it was K-pop, the Demon Hunter soundtrack all the way down, all the way down. Girls screaming at their lungs. My wife just kind of looking at me. I'm just like, I'm just looking ahead. I'm just looking ahead. I'm just looking ahead. You know, it's her big day. I'm not going to say anything. But yeah, you're right. It's just it's. There's so much people just they like what they like, but yeah, you're right. It's the music that's a great analogy with the music. So let's go through some of the other chunks of this AEW and Ring of Honor block. There's a few here, so I'll go through these and kick them over to you for any specific thoughts or interesting stuff that you have to say about any of these. We had AEW and DC Comics announcing their Justice League crossover comic book series. Later, Tony Khan were because they were the sponsor for Full Gear. So it was like, you know, the most important sponsorship they've ever had, which I thought was interesting, but we'll save that for November. AEW celebrated their 6th anniversary. Incredible, because I'm always told they're going to die at any moment, you know. And this was strange. So in a year of strange stuff, Andrade El Idolo returned to AEW, surprised parents on Dynamite, attacked Kenny Omega. And of course, immediately aligned with the Don Callis family, as pretty much everyone is wont to do. When they get to AEW, and then he just disappeared off the face of the earth. When it comes to wrestling, I think it appeared maybe once in backup Don Callis, but I think it was a pre-tape thing or something. But it was he just disappeared, and everyone assumed, okay, we're going to get a singles match at WrestleDream. Of course, that did not happen. It's because that essentially what everyone kind of knows, but no one's ever fully confirmed, is that WWE has they said, well, you have a non-compete clause, and he's like, well, I got fired. And like, well, if you get fired, it's actually a year non-compete clause, which is pretty crazy. And he, of course, in this, we started to learn it was like a virus. It kind of kept spreading in terms of, oh, you can work here but not here. And it's like, no, you can't work there either. You can't work there. You can't work there. I mean, he was booked for like an indie show in Maine. That didn't happen. He did work for the Crash and won their heavyweight championship. He was set to face LA Park and what was billed as an indie dream match, and he was supposed to be wrestling for Puerto Rico and WWC. That got canceled, and just all of a sudden it just kind of spread and spread and spread. And Andrade, to this point, you know, he's talking a little bit about it now. He's hoping it's going to be less than a year, this whole non-compete thing. That so that whole debate came up. So that was pretty interesting. Happened during this month. Sari made her Ring of Honor debut with a women's title defense, or of course IWGP women's title defense. Kevin Kelly and the Tate Twins are appeal of the AEW lawsuit. Arbitration ruling got dismissed, so that would continue on. El Clone debuted in AEW Dynamite and immediately aligned with the Don Callis family. I think he's wrestled maybe one, maybe two matches since then. Poor Commander. Sorry, Hologram. I always call him Commander. Hologram got hurt. Hikaru Shida returned to the United States and signed a new deal with AEW. However, we have not seen her in like almost a year. So there you go with that. Best kind of contract to get. Heyman Page was calling for fans to contact WBD about the controversial ice ads that were airing on Dynamite and also on HBO Max as well. Nigel McGuinness gave an update on his in-ring future, essentially saying he's not going to be full-time, but he'd love to keep wrestling as he can. Maybe not for long, though. We had Full Gear starting to take shape. We had two world title matches signed, Big Boom AJ, and a mystery partner challenged for Full Gear from a couple, Rocky Romero and Trent for Full Gear. Gail Kim, you remember this whole thing? Kim tweets, Kenny Omega's tweet toward me was very derogatory. This is just her, just again, just like Sarah Stock. We, of course, had Gail Kim doing all this stuff. We had a lot of Chris Jericho celebrating the 35th anniversary of his debut, saying it ain't over yet. Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens met up at an NHL game, and also Jericho announced talent for the 2026 Jericho Cruise. However, no AEW names were listed. Jon Moxley and Darby Allin had a big brawl at New York Comic Con. Mark Davis returned from injury after 6 months, again aligning with Don Callis' family. We had Nielsen Mania. Yeah, that's right. These new Nielsen ratings, there was all this talk about who they affected, what they affected, how. No one knew. Taz taking time off due to a shoulder replacement surgery. We get another report on the actual attendance for AEW All in Texas, a little bit less than was announced. Big surprise. Kota Ibushi got stretchered out during AEW Collision taping, broke his femur. Very hard to do. Ex-Try Guy. I have no idea who these people are, but one of our editors does. And thought this was notable. Ned Fulmer made his wrestling debut at an AEW taping. And then there was this spot on Dynamite where Darby Allin was going to throw a Molotov cocktail at Jon Moxley in the Death Rise, and a security guard took him out. And he did it really hard to the point people are like, what's going on? What happened? And he talked afterwards. They were supposed to treat it like a shoot, and they did. So thoughts about any of this?
that's funny. Let's go back to the Andrade thing, because that was by far I would say out of everything that happened in October, and a lot happened clearly, that was definitely the most bizarre occurrence that I've seen in pro wrestling in a while, where a guy is under contract to WWE and just shows up on AEW because he doesn't know that he's under contract still. And Tony Khan allows it because he didn't do the proper, background check to make sure that this guy was free and clear. He just took the guy at his word. And I don't know that Andrade is a guy that you should be taking at his word on this stuff. He doesn't appear to be a guy who reads contracts. Doesn't appear to be a legal expert, especially here with the way that American contracts work. I put the blame on AEW there, the leadership. They really should have vetted that information before they put it on television, and they almost got themselves jammed up. I mean, they're lucky that they didn't actually get sued. They just got the cease and desist order. Now, that could have been real bad for them. WWE is obviously the villains in the situation. To hold a guy to a 12-month non-compete contract when you're not paying the guy is kind of like scummy, I would say. But AEW, man, you guys got to be smarter than that. Especially Tony. Like, Tony's better than that. He's probably like knowing that he screwed up on that deal.
Yeah, I heard one interesting thought came up was, would they legally be able to show, like, Andrade's like, AEW's like, well, can you prove that you don't have a non-compete? And could they just say, here's the contract, here's what it says? Yeah. And some people say, I don't know if they can do that or not. And they're like, well, how do you take someone at their word, or you just take the lawyer? Because Andrade kind of threw his lawyer under the bus. And again, to your point, it's questionable how trustworthy the person is that we're dealing with in terms of knowing everything and just saying, I just want to do this, so I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. So the ex-Try guy, Ned Fulmer, I don't know who that is, and I'm not willing to learn. I'm just I'm completely not interested. Kudos to them. Congrats for getting themselves on into AEW. The Chris Jericho, I think, is interesting. His story coming up, and I know that you know, not much has happened since October, but during that month, him announcing the 2026 Jericho Cruise without anybody from AEW, nobody from Ring of Honor. He really only has independent wrestlers, and he's got TNA wrestlers, and that's really about it. He doesn't have anybody from WWE because they're not going to let him go. But his future, I think, is really interesting and something to watch out for in 2026, to see what kind of splash that he's making. And that Darby Allin thing, I thought that whole thing was stupid. the Molotov cocktail.
Yeah.
You remember in, I think it was, in TNA, when Samoa Joe was walking around with like an actual machete, like he had just like this giant blade. It's like, you shouldn't carry around a weapon that you like everybody knows you're not going to use.
Right.
It's like the same as carrying a gun to the ring. Like, you're not going to actually kill people.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I took that as, like, he bringing this Molotov cocktail at a time in our country where a lot of stuff is going really bad. And that's got a different kind of connotation. I probably would have avoided using a Molotov cocktail, but I'm glad the security guard speared him. That was cool.
All right, let's go through the rest of these AEW and Ring of Honor headlines from the month. Ruby Soho and Angela Parker opening up a new business together. I believe it's a wrestling themed restaurant if I remember right.
Yeah, is it like a coffee joint type
Yes,
of deal?
something like that. Yeah. And neither Ruby at one point, we went through a series that she was training to get back in the ring, but we have not seen anything. And Angela Parker, I think he might be done too. So it's weird. Matt Menard signed a new 5-year deal, but apparently Angela Parker did not. So who knows if we'll see either of those people again. Queen Aminata was said to be dealing with a knee injury. Roosh dislocated his elbow on Dynamite and then just popped it right back in, kept going. Young Buck said the BT is not fully back, just special episodes here and there. Dax Harwood, and a trend we've seen a lot with the wrestlers this year, but perhaps just more vocal and public about it, saying he and his family have been targeted by a stalker. Killer Cross and Scarlett said, it wouldn't be fair to Tony Khan for us to join AEW right now. I mean, they would, They said, Tony, it's not fair. It's not right. Tony Khan said Mercedes Moné is not really making money on her indie bookings. He also addressed Britt Baker's status with AEW for about the 1 millionth time. WBD put itself up for sale, of course, leading to questions like, oh, AEW's dying. It's over. What's going to happen? And time, it just got to wait it out. Time changes and everything. And as we've seen, sometimes in a span of a couple days, it can change real quick. Mm-hmm. Sky Duhati, AEW coach, announced he's getting engaged. Swerve Strickland was reported he was hopeful for a winter return. The AEW Women's World Tag Team Title Tournament bracket was revealed. Devon Dudley recalled meetings with Tony Khan saying all three were a bust. Wouldn't be the only thing Devon would say about management coming up this month. We'll talk about it in a minute. MVP refuting the Speedball Mike Bailey AEW Heat rumors. Red Velvet cleared for her return, called up Mercedes Moné for a Ring of Honor Women's TV Title Unification match. We had an update on where Billy Gunn was, and the reason he was off wasn't due to injury, just due to creative. Enzo Amore said he reached out to AEW. They had no interest. A challenge was issued for a men's Blood and Guts match, so we're going to get both a men's and a women's Blood and Guts match coming up in November for the very first time. Injury forced a change in that women's tag team title tournament. Penelope Ford busted up her elbow, and Marie Shafir stepped in instead. Thunder Rosa gave an update on her injury recovery and in-ring return, saying she'll be back soon. I think she's dealing with a concussion, if I read that right. Ortiz, remember him? Said he had about a year left on his AEW contract. He actually returned last week. The company revealed the location where special New Year's Eve Dynamite, which I believe is in Omaha, Nebraska, which who would not want to spend New Year's Eve, Mike Gilbert, in Omaha, yeah. Nebraska. Clarification, there was a WBD media release, and some people thought that Battle of the Belts was coming back and AEW Double Nothing was going to be on TNT. But sometimes you have to just ask the question to the PR people of, what does this mean? And they're like, oh, no, this is a HBO Max press release, so all the stuff is going up on the streaming platform. It's like, oh, okay. And because there's a mention of Rampage in there. A lot of people thought Rampage was going on. So I asked. And like, no, it's actually just, this is an HBO Max release. And all these outlets are like, copy-paste. Yep. And they didn't even look at it. And I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense. So there you go. AEW Collision avoided going head-to-head with Survivor Series. They announced they were going to be going early. Actually, they didn't even run that day at all. They went on Thursday that week instead of head-to-head. Peter Avalon underwent his second surgery of 2025. Olympia from CMLL made her debut in Collision so she could challenge Moné for the CMLL women's title the week after. And the former Tegan Knox appeared in AEW Collision and issued a challenge. And boy, will we talk about Tegan Knox in the month of November. Thoughts about any of that?
So the Killer Cross and Scarlett thing, that's pretty funny because they don't have a hope in hell in joining AEW. But I think at one point they did, because when Killer Cross was in Impact Wrestling back in like 2018 and 2019, he showed a little bit of promise. He was pretty green, but we thought he might have something. And if he just got himself onto a bigger platform, and he showed up at an AEW show, I think in Las Vegas, in the crowd while he was still under contract to Impact. So a lot of people thought that they were going to end up there, but they ended up taking the NXT deal that they had on the plate. But they have not shown anything that a company like AEW would want. Like the things that they covet, Killer Cross doesn't have, right? So like I don't even understand why he would even mention that. I'm sure he wants to keep his name out there and get people talking about him, get people to convince Tony to sign him, but that's just not going to happen. Enzo Amore, he contacted AEW and they had no interest. That's like Mike Gilbert contacts Sydney Sweeney. Like we all know what's gonna happen there. Like nothing. it's like shut up, dummy.
Yeah, it's no big surprise there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I do have to correct you on something.
Oh.
You said that AEW is going to be for New Year's Eve Dynamite. They're going to be in Omaha, Nebraska. And I believe that is true, but people would want to go to Omaha, Nebraska. I happen to be a fan of that city. I spent a couple of days there, and I have a 311 tattoo, 311 famously from Omaha,
That's
Nebraska.
right.
So,
That's right.
yeah.
Yes. Nice,
Yeah,
nice.
so no Omaha hate, but it's probably very cold there right now, coming up. So the MVP speedball story, I heard that story that was going around before it went public. Like somebody in that company was trying to get that information out because it somehow trickled its way to me, and I'm not like an insider at all. And so a lot of different people had that story, and they had all very similar details. It got they sent they cast a wide net on how they were wanting to get that story out, and it got out. And then of course, I'm sure some of it was true, but most of it wasn't. So I'm very curious as to how that got out there, and who in that company really wanted it known that not only did MVP not like speedball, he didn't want Bobby Lashley or Shelton Benjamin doing jobs of speedball, but it also at the same time. The information got out there that their contracts were coming up in November and that AEW was looking to move on. Now, that ended up not being true at all, but somebody in that company wanted it out there because enough people had it.
I agree. My instinct is it could be someone from across the street because, MVP does not like Triple H. He's made no bones about that. I don't know. Not saying it's him, but would not be surprised if there was something leaked there just to, throw a little grenade in there. You know what I mean? All right. Let's go to a topic close to your heart. That'd be TNA. But this section, different than the last time we talked, is NXT TNA, because all these companies are just like,
Just molded into one.
it is, it is, it is. Everyone's appearing on everyone else's show, but we'll start with TNA BFG. Sorry, Bound for Glory from beautiful Lowell, Massachusetts, which is about an hour south of me. I have been there before. I have locked my car very tight when I've been there. Not fine people there,
Yeah,
but not.
I spent a week there like 2 years ago.
You d for what?
It was a military thing. We had someone pass away in our unit. They just happened to be from Lowell, and I escorted their body,
Oh, okay.
basically.
Got
Yeah,
it.
I
Got it.
did one of the, I was in my blues the whole time, so I did the escort, and I was at the funeral and all that stuff. So I got really well acquainted with Lowell, and I didn't think it was a bad town at all. But I whenever they announced that BFG was coming to Lowell, I was like, why?
It's because they put in a nice attendance here. So this show, this is again they're essentially their WrestleMania. Their biggest event of the year. Some people think it's Slamversary. I've been told it's Bound for Glory. Would you say Bound for Glory, Slamversary, or Victory Road?
Every year it's Slammiversary. Every year Slammiversary does better. And technically, the information doesn't come out till I think November, so you guys might get into it next month. But technically, Slammiversary beat Bound for Glory this year, although on the show they announced the attendance was higher than Slammiversary, but it actually wasn't. They lied.
Wrestling promoters lying? Get out of here. Get out of here. So, of course, we had a controversial end of the Call Your Shot Gauntlet match, which was Nick Nemeth and Frankie Kazarian splitting the trophy. Steve Maclin regained the international title. We had the end of the X Division title match between Leon Slater and Javon Evans, ended in a draw, and then they were going to go extra time, and they did, and Dark State ran the ring, got the ring. Boy, did people hate this. Oh my God, did people hate this. And a report came out afterwards that WB had a significant say in the finish. You don't say. They announced the date of their first pay-per-view of 2026, or announced rather it was going to be in January, not the official date. Genesis returning, of course, for the second straight year after Hard to Kill was killed when it comes to the January pay-per-views. They announced their best ever North American attendance. Mike Santana won the world title. LOL. The Dudleys handed their wrestling boots to Hardy after their final match. That was quite a spectacle. The Hardys and Dudleys for the final time ever, until Saudi money comes in and all of a sudden they get that match over there, one timer. And then of course they had BDE, which apparently some YouTuber or some sort of Twitch whoever debuted in the Call Your Shot Gauntlet as well. But yeah, I was kind of following this along because we were doing news and all this, and just a lot of. A lot of pissed off people by that Slater and Javon Evans finish, and The collar shot gauntlet. A lot of people are pissed off about that. So yeah, this was quite a show for TNA. Financially successful, and yeah, I'm sure there's lots of with the All Star Awards, right? Is that what the Hat Man Carlos Silva hands out now? But yeah, this is quite a show.
Yeah, you know, the Mike Santana match was I thought was pretty good. Mike Santana and Trick Williams. I actually enjoyed the Dudleys and the Hardys, but the melodrama afterwards was pretty lame. I thought, like, it just went forever. We didn't need to do all of that for. And I got nothing. I'm not a Dudley hater either. I always enjoyed their stuff, but I just thought that it just took forever. Now the X Division title match, people in the company and people outside the company were like, "No, just wait. The heat is going to generate something. It's going to lead somewhere." And where are we now? It didn't do a damn thing. Like
Right,
they had the one match, and then with Dork stayed, and that was it. And I know they're going to end up getting a rematch between Javon and Leon Slater at some point, probably on WWE television, which is why WWE wanted the finish that they got, because if they're going to do a clean one, they probably want it on their show. But the whole thing just sucked. It didn't generate any type of money making heat. It just generated just people probably not wanting to buy the next show. That I think that's all that they accomplished out of it, and so I guess congrats. But I'm sure Genesis is going to do significantly less than Bound for Glory, even with like their new television home on AMC. The TNA television show has never really driven pay-per-view buys for them. It's always just been like, you know, what card they have, and you know who they can get on the card. And here lately, it's like, what kind of WWE involvement and the Hardy Boys involvement? Like, what are they doing? The weekly show hasn't really played a factor in the ticket sales.
So for those that have not heard you talk to us on your own show, given that really it was your first podcast at TNA, the Brace for Impact one.
Yeah, that was the first podcast, and then JD kind of hand waved TNA after he saw Taylor Wilde. Doing tarot cards during a match and trying to influence the outcome with her tarot cards. And he's like, "Mike, I can't do this freaking show anymore." So we had already been spinning it off kind of because we were like jealous of other podcasts doing to get the fun news, because this was during the time where CM Punk and the Young Bucks and all the controversy in AEW is happening, and like TNA is boring at the time. So we wanted to kind of talk more like topical news. So that's what the Mike and JD show is, just like headlines. So
What's your thought on this TNA TV deal?
I mean, it's a big deal for TNA. I don't think it's a huge money making deal for them, because if it were, CAA would have put that out there in the periodicals, like at
100%.
Hollywood Reporter would have had it in Variety. So little insight for you. It's not even out there, but I've talked about it publicly. I was told in September that AMC was that they were talking to AMC, and it looked like it was probably going to be a revenue share deal. And everything that Carlos Silva has said since then makes me believe that it's a rev share deal, which is still good for TNA. That's kind of what AEW had. I think they had a rev share plus a production fee, and that might be similar to what TNA has with AMC. It gets them off of Access, puts them into a lot more homes. AMC is a good channel. I watch AMC. I like the channel. They have a 49ers documentary coming up in February, so that's good. So it's obviously I like the channel, but it should be awesome. It's gonna fail if they don't do something about their creative process right now. Delirious is fairly bland as a booker. I'm not a big fan of his instincts. It's very paint by numbers. The Mike Santana story is a carbon copy of the Josh Alexander story from a few years ago, with, you know, when Moose cashed in. It's the same thing. And then Seth Rollins had done something similar with CM Punk earlier this year. It's like all very similar. So I just don't think that they have a lot of great creative minds in the room right now. They need to beef that up a little bit, improve their production, and then maybe they can do something. But as it stands right now, I wouldn't have a whole lot of hope that it's going to be greatly successful unless they make some changes.
Yeah, good point. The company, WWE, filed for a Showdown trademark after scrapping an Invasion name. Of course, this was the NXT versus TNA show they've been building towards to go up against Title Tuesday, which I didn't talk about earlier.
I
And
got blamed for that, by the way,
how so?
because whenever the Invasion name, they announced it after during that pay-per-view, I quote tweeted it. I said, an Invasion show on October 7th is, you know, pretty wild. It's a pretty wild name because of what happened in Israel, right? And that tweet blew up. And then everybody's talking about it, and then it gets picked up by the Israeli press. Now, they didn't link it back to my tweet, but I was like one of the first guys that said that publicly,
Oh,
and then it
interesting,
started
huh?
getting picked up by a lot of like people, like, and folks in the wrestling media started retweeting it, and then I had folks in like real media retweeting the tweet. It was crazy. Like that tweet got a lot of views. It was weird.
Oh,
And
interesting.
then like 3 days later, they changed the name. It's crazy.
I think actually, you know, as you mentioned that, I think I do remember seeing that. There's so much stuff that we see and we talk about where now it's just like, oh yeah, the fog is starting to lift. But yeah, they just grabbed this name, and of course, the show itself, we had Jordan Grace and Joe Hendry doing guest referee spots. The Dudley Boys appear at the show as well, and yeah, there was just nothing really like huge came out of it for such a big thing. TNA finalized their schedule for the remainder of 2025, a big block of nothing in after Bound for Glory in December, which is still just very strange. This is when again we got more stories about them being in active negotiations for a new TV deal. They're very excited about a potential TV partner. There's updated potential start date. I think it was a 60 to 90 day thing. Carlos Silva addressed the Joe Hendry to WWE rumors. He was not denying he was eventually going to end up in WWE, but he was with TNA for now. Of course, we know that went. Inspiration won the Knockouts tag team titles. WWE announced a special NXT episode for November in New York City at the theater at Madison Square Garden right next door. WWE NXT female wrestlers are expected to travel more in Japan in the year ahead. Cedric Alexander's TNA contract was discussed, and we learned it was up imminently. Tony D'Angelo, some rumors about his return. Rado Kid announced his departure from TNA. Mickie James revealed who would induct her in the TNA Hall of Fame, of course, or Bound for Glory, that being Tara slash Victoria. Tommy Dreamer inducted the Beautiful People. Ash by Elegance, this was kind of a surprise, said she retired and she vacated the TNA Knockouts title at Victory Road. Carlos Silva teased a contract update for Matt and Jeff Hardy. We had details for the Men's Speed Championship returning, of course, to NXT. And then the NXT side, Lainey Reed joined Fatal Influence. Thoughts about that first chunk of stuff?
Yeah, with the TNA taking off like for a full month after Bound for Glory was the only reason was is for budget issues. I think they had kind of like maximized their budget already for the year, and so they had to take some time off, and then that's why you had, the rest of the year. They only did two cities the rest of the year, and they were 3 day tapings. So it was Orlando and El Paso. They were just, I think that they had just overextended their budget, and they were just trying to reel it back in. And they're on Access TV, so Access doesn't care. And but I'm like, I bet Sportsnet in Canada cares. I bet
Good point.
their TV partners in Mexico, and they have TV partners in other countries. I bet they cared. But their American home is really the only one that they covet, I guess. So I thought the whole thing was bogus, but Joe Hendry, I think the moment he entered the Royal Rumble and he got that pop, like his days were numbered,
Oh,
essentially.
totally. Yeah.
And I think we're seeing it right now with Leon Slater too. I think that he's probably like next in line to head over there. They're using him a lot, and he's really impressive. He's not getting the pops that Hendry got, but I think that he's probably a guy that's going to be on his way over there. Ash by Elegance, that threw everybody for a loop. I think she announced her retirement in September, and then come October, she's like, yeah, I'm not coming back. And it was kind of a sad thing because I had just finally come around on her, as a performer and as a character. She worked really hard, and she finally like embraced that character. It started to work. She won the title, and she had a little faction there, and it's a goofball faction, but it was working on television, so it was really sad to see her retire like that. And they might try her out on commentary and things like that. So we'll see what happens with her. But it was really sad.
And we still don't know why she retired.
No, yeah, it's a medical situation. So, and they're not going to talk about it, which is fine. But kind of you just hope the best for her.
This other chunk of stuff. We had OTM making their return to NXT. There's a positive update on then women's champion JC Jane after a injury scare at a house show. Chris Bay, now able to live an independent life after his broken neck. And of course, the 1 year anniversary of that tragedy. Date and location of Deadline was revealed for NXT, that being December in San Antonio. It just happened. And then we had the start of the Ridge Holland saga. Announced his departure from WWE. He made knee neck surgery. He had surgery for Liz Frank and still got released. And of course, this just This just blew up, and we'll talk about more in November. This just became a big thing. And of course, he did some matches in TNA as well. Clearly, Sol Ruka not medically cleared for Halloween Havoc, or was she? There was some question whether this injury was legit, because she really didn't favor the injury at all. She just kind of kept wrestling and no real time off. Mustafa Ali, when it comes to TNA, keeping his options open when his contract expires at the year of the end, end of the year. World champion Mike Santana, of course, at the time, set to make his Maple Leaf Pro debut. Tessa Blanchard revealed the reason for her recent absence from TNA, cosmetic surgery, and that being the kind, breast enhancement. No judging. She said it. Omos wrestled at an NXT house show. We had some WWE NXT releases and departures, Wesley and Stevie Turner among them. WWE LFG, Danny Selesky and Shiloh Hill, the two winners of season two. I don't know anybody that watches LFG, or I think I've seen about 3 minutes of it, that being all in X. Elijah cleared routines, return soon to TNA. Steph DeLander and Mance Warner got married. There was an update on Steve Macklin's TNA contract status expiring at the end of the year, as it seems like almost the entire roster at some point expired. This is kind of how it works. Rey Mysterio voiced the intro for AAA's Hero Immortalis to 17. NXT Gold Rush, a two-week event, was announced for November. And, of course, at that Heroes Immortalis show, Vikingo turned heel. El Grande Americo made an appearance, as did the Wyatt Six as a surprise. And Chelsea Green issued a challenge for AAA's Day of the Dead event. Again, is that relationship between WWE, NXT, and AAA just gets tighter and tighter. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, WWE, LFG, the only person in the world that watches that show is Paul Fontaine. Like, he is so locked in. He is an expert on WWE, LFG. So if anybody wants to talk LFG, he's like the guy to go to. I've never seen a single minute of that show, but I'm sure it's a fine show. You know, Mustafa Ali and the rest of the TNA roster, they're all just dating TNA, and they're just hoping for something better to come along. And kind of been the story of TNA since they got off Spike TV. And I think the hope is that they eventually get a good paying television deal, that way they can stop dating all these wrestlers and marry a few of them, because nobody wants to stay long term. They're just kind of holding out hope. Like, you know, Nick Nemeth is always saying that he doesn't want to get locked into another contract. And it's like that hot girl that says, I don't want to get married right now. I just keep my options open. Like, you break up and like 3 months later, she's married. You know, it's like one of those situations. That's been the story of TNA the last few years. So, but I think Ollie and Macklin, I believe are sticking around. Not really much there. So the TNA World Champion Mike Santana making his Maple Leaf Pro debut. The reason why that's interesting is because Moose was on an interview like the week before saying that TNA was not allowed to work ML Maple Leaf Pro shows,
right?
Because they're in bed with AEW, and then that kind of spiraled into TNA and AEW are enemies, or TNA sees AEW as the enemies, when in reality, it's more of a, they don't like Scott D'Amore in TNA, so they're not trying to do him any favors. And, you know, the year before, they had sent Josh Alexander and they sent Speedball to Maple Leaf Pro, and the first thing Scott did was, one of his favorite things to do is have AEW wrestlers beat the TNA wrestlers. So, like, you could see why maybe TNA is a little hesitant to send their talent.
Let's see. Let's go to WWE, and WWE, of course, Crown Jewel was held this month in I almost said beautiful Saudi Arabia. This was in Perth, actually, for the first time. And we had a Women's Crown Jewel champion crowned, which was Stephanie Vaquer. The Usos and Braun Breaker interfering in a Roman Reigns versus Bronson Reed match. We had this John Cena AJ Styles match where everything coming out of it was them paying tribute to former rivals of this different moves and all this stuff. So it's kind of like I always thought like a cover match would be interesting. Like, just let's let someone do like Steamboat and Savage from WrestleMania 3, like move for move, two random indie wrestlers.
Yeah.
But they did all these different moves and all that. Seth Rollins was won the Crown Jewel title and then legitimately hurt his shoulder, which, you know, you never want to see people get hurt, but just the irony of him getting hurt when he did the whole swerve thing earlier in the year and all that was just quite a situation there. Fans chanted for Edge during the post show. Kyrie, yeah, so actually we'll talk about that. Of course, then that led to Seth Rollins being stripped of the WWE World Heavyweight title, legit shoulder injury, going to be out for quite some time. We learned the update. The original plans were Rollins at Mania 42 was him versus Roman Reigns. And then what that led to was Saturday night's main event, a world title match being official for November. CM Punk versus Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight title. But yeah, this whole thing is Seth Rollins. And then obviously the Vision turned on him as well. So all these plans are kind of months and months in advance. Like that got changed and with one coast-to-coast move. And yeah, Seth Rollins was out. And again, the irony of him doing the whole fake thing. We fooled everyone. We didn't really fool anyone. And then legitimately getting hurt, and people like, well, is this a work too? You couldn't script it any better. And, you know, he'll be back at some point. But just what an unusual year for Seth Rollins.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Everybody was attacking Dave whenever he said that after Seth Rollins, like, supposedly got hurt. Everybody was attacking. Like, even David Penzer was kind of coming after Dave. Like, no, Dave, it's real. It's real, okay? And Dave was like, I don't think it's real. And Brian Alvarez was saying the same thing. And he'd come back, and sure enough, the whole thing was a work. And then he gets hurt, like almost like it was only the champion for like what, a month maybe?
Yeah, well, it was SummerSlam. Yeah, SummerSlam. Yeah. Yeah.
So two months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he held the belt for 2 months and then got himself hurt again. And you know, and that happened to him when he won the belt the first time. He won the belt at WrestleMania, and then I think he ended up blowing his knee out shortly after that, didn't he? I think so.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's kind of had the crazy career arc, but you know, it created an opportunity for Bron Breakker to be like the top heel in the company, and we'll see if he can succeed. I think the guy's got a lot of talent. I think he's going to be a big star for them, but I just don't know that he's quite ready yet. But we'll see. They're kind of forced into making him ready. So
yeah. Let's see. That was kind of, you know, the big stories in WWE. Let's go through a few different chunks of different things. We'll see what you think about any of these. Santos Escobar. So this is a trend in WWE. They re-sign these guys, and then they just don't show up. Almost they re-sign him to a multi-year deal, and he's worked everywhere but WWE. And so yeah, Santos Escobar had his he did the pictures on X, and he's like, he basically is teasing, oh, I'm going to get out there and be a free agent. I think he was a free agent for a day or two, and then re-signed, and we haven't seen him since. And it was supposedly a big money deal. I don't understand why, because it's just, you know, he's talented, but there's a million talented wrestlers. But for some reason, they want to make a play to get him again, probably due to the AAA relationship. Jade Cargill had it stitches above her right eye, I believe, after an injury on SmackDown going in the stairs. Bronson Reed, he re-upped his contract earlier in the year. We learned Paul Heyman is looking for Larry Agency, still a thing, apparently. Announced a merger with something called MCM Studios. Kairi Sane got her old theme music back on Raw. Bayley announced the launching of what she called the Passion Project, women's wrestlers, that being Lodestone. We hear more about that, of course, in December. Kevin Nash, WWE royalty payments got weird after TKO took over the process. Probably weird as in less money, I'm going to guess. Yeah. Maybe that was it. Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston re-signed with the company. Paul Heyman, I was in there, this quote. So Braun Strowman threw out a penguin, Oswald Cobblepot, insult on Twitter towards Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman said, your post was brought to my attention. I have nothing negative to say about you, nor to you, sir. In fact, I am actually relieved and indeed celebratory to learn you're still alive, something most of us didn't realize and even fewer cared about. Paul Heyman. There you go. Sheamus, Otis, JD McDonagh, Grayson Waller, Lyra Valkyria, and Trick Williams are announced for a WWE NXT house show tour. So a lot of main roster talent doing some work on in NXT. Bryce Donovan and Zeta Steele announced they're leaving the WWE ID program. Kylie Rae announced that she is pregnant and her contract not being renewed. She's the inaugural women's ID champion. Very, very strange there. AJ Styles confirmed his decision on retirement. Nakamura and Tama Tonga made their return to WWE and on SmackDown specifically in Australia before Crown Jewel. Lance Noy announced his WWE departure. Corey Graves and Carmella also welcomed the birth of a new child. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, you know, Santos Escobar reminds me of one of the stories that we didn't really get a chance to expand on with AEW earlier, but the Hikaru Shida signing a deal, and then we just haven't seen her since. Same thing with Santos Escobar. It's like these two companies are signing these talents to keep them away from each other, and then they don't really have any plans for them. But if someone's going to pay me a lot of money and I don't have to go to work, that sounds pretty awesome. So
Yep.
kudos to Santos Escobar for locking in that deal. Really talented guy. I don't, a lot of people thought that AEW would want to bring him in, El Hijo del Fantasma. Like they thought that maybe they would want to bring him in, but I didn't really see it. I was like, this guy's, kind of pushing 40 now and he hasn't really made it. I just don't, AEW has a million good wrestlers. I just don't see why they would have brought him in, but some people thought that they would have. I just didn't see it. Kevin Nash's comments about the TKO royalty payments is starting to pay off now because he had come out this week insulting Nick Khan, which is probably something you'll cover in the December block. But it all started here with this comment that the TKO payment is getting weird. And now this week he'd come out criticizing Nick Khan and some of Nick Khan's comments about Rey Mysterio. So something for you guys to pay attention to in December for sure. But it's all coming to light now. Bryce Donovan, not sure that's a real person, but sorry he got fired.
I know him. He is tall. I've seen him before. He's very tall. That's about it.
Okay. Zeta Steele just signed, she signed with AEW, so kudos to her. Now, the Kylie Rae thing happened like right around the same time that the Ridge Holland thing, where Ridge Holland got injured in the TNA match against Moose. He broke his foot and he got released, and then she's getting released while she's pregnant. I don't know what the language of those contracts are, but she might have a case. I don't know the law on that, but releasing someone while they're pregnant is like a no-go, especially it's like a low money deal. They're not paying them very much money. They could have, kept them on through term and maternity leave and then, terminated the contract at that point. Terminating it while she's pregnant is just creepy and weird.
Let's go to the second chunk of stuff. WWE announcing a new date for Money in the Bank, moving forward to New Orleans. I'm sure they heard this. Like, are you seriously taking another show from us? Going from August to September, so not that big of a change. They confirmed that Elimination Chamber was coming to Chicago in 2026. CM Punk called out stalkers who harassed WWE wrestlers. Booker T postponed an indie event in honor of John Cena's WWE retirement match. AJ Styles bid farewell to Australia at a live event, and also there are stars that pay tribute to him at Japanese Super Show. So obviously, as I mentioned, he confirmed his retirement was impending, and this is probably the last time he's going to compete these places. And yeah, they're all giving his flowers and then some. Kendall Gray won the WWE Evolve Women's Championship. Vince McMahon, to avoid significant punishment in the reckless driving case happening. I completely forgot this. Happened on the same day Hulk Hogan died. It's just crazy how that works. We learned, thanks to the old Andrade thing, that new WWE contracts have a lengthy non-compete if you're fired for cause or breach. How about that? Jacob Fatu, the report came out and ended up being true, said to miss an extended period of time due to dental fixes, and he was written off TV. He should be making his return, I'd say, imminently. WWE, rather, made a new hire to lead transition to AI-based storytelling and creative. This is a story that Dave had in The Observer. And then, of course, there was a little bit of saying, well, he's kind of doing this and this and this and so on. And that was led to, more details and to come using AI tools for creative. It's like, no, we're not replacing. No, we're not replacing writers or anything like that. It's just merely to help and, all these type of things. So we'll see what happens. John Cena's retirement match, this is a rumor, could have the championship involved. And spoiler alert, it did not. There's an update again. Chris Jericho just floating these things out there somehow. Updated potential return. And he also banned the trademark for the Jericho Vortex. So yeah, we'll see what happens with Jericho. The Rock, this is hilarious. The Rock saying he has a quote unquote tiny bit of influence on John Cena's final opponent. This is coming how much you believe in this, and also the fact that he just abandoned the whole storyline and he shouldn't have zero say or any influence on this at all. And I was just surprised he wasn't there this past Saturday. I was very shocked by that. Ilya Dragunov made his return after a ACL tear, I believe. He won the United States Championship on SmackDown. Rhea Ripley broke her nose at a Super Show in Japan. John Cena visited the WWE Performance Center. AJ Styles and Dragon Lee won the World Tag Team titles on Raw. And there's some rumors out there about Austin Theory potentially joining the Vision, which we saw Monday night is the case. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people owe Dave an apology because they were calling BS on Austin Theory possibly being the masked man and joining the Vision. There was rumors that Austin Theory would be involved in War Games somehow, And turns out old Uncle Dave was right all along. And I think we'll start seeing it on Twitter any day now, where a lot of people are just like, you know what, Dave, you nailed it, buddy.
You got it. You got it. You did it. You did it.
Yeah, you definitely did do it. What was the, oh, so yeah, you know, Chris Jericho, I mean, like, he's got to be locked in already, right? Like, I don't see him doing anything other than coming to the back to the WWE.
Do you think he'd appear on TNA?
So I, you know, JD and I have kicked that topic around mainly because it plays well on YouTube. Not going to, like, that's the Mike Gilbert grift. Like, I know something's going to play well on YouTube. I'm going to at least have the conversation, right? And put Jericho on the thumbnail. Is Jericho going to TNA? But then they click the video and it's like us saying no. But so I did try to rationalize why he would, and I'll just give that to you now. It's because, like, is he ready to do a retirement tour? He might not think he's ready to do a retirement tour. The guy is in pretty good shape. And he also identifies with bands like Kiss and the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, who are out there, well, not the Beatles, obviously, but Paul McCartney. They're out there still touring. They're out there still doing it. I think he sees himself like that. And if he's not ready to hang him up yet, then I don't know that he would want to go do a WWE retirement tour. And then you take a look at TNA, they don't have the money that you're going to make in WWE. But if you go to TNA, you can still go to WWE and do things like we've seen with the Hardy Boys do and things like that. And, you know, they're on the upswing. Whether or not I like the creative, like, you got to give them credit. They are on the upswing. WWE is a very much a factor in that. But they just landed this new TV deal. And, you know, you could be a part of some of the biggest shows in that company's history, and you could take credit for that. And Jericho seems like the kind of guy that would want to take credit for that.
And
Like,
he's never worked there.
yeah, he's never worked there. And, you know, he just, what was the last world title he had? Was Ring of Honor. You know, he's the Nueve. Well, now he can be the DS if he goes to TNA. And there's a ready-made storyline with Mike Santana, who used to be a part of his faction. I can't remember the name of
That's
it. The original faction, the
the Inner
original Jericho
Circle.
Appreciation. Was it
The Inner Circle.
the Inner Circle? Yeah. So, like, Santana came from the Inner Circle. There's a ready-made storyline already there for him, and then all those guys are on the Jericho Cruise. Like, you start, like, you could talk yourself into it, but then at the end of the day, you're like, I don't think TNA's got that kind of money. So, or if they do, it's going to be like a significant fraction of that budget, going to one guy. And would it really be worth it? My opinion is they need a big splash on AMC, and Jericho is the only person out there that's available that would be that splash. That's the only thing that works.
Yeah, and I don't think WWE would want to do a dual contract.
No,
It's
but
possible, but I don't see him doing that.
no, not a dual contract, but they bring the Hardys in all the time, right? Like, they did NXT shots. I think they could bring Jericho in for appearances, bring him in to do certain things. Like, they with the partnership with WWE, with the partnership with TNA, it's like you still have him kind of like in the tent, right? He's, you know, he's in the tent pissing out and not outside the tent pissing in, right? Which is what he's been with AEW. So if he goes to TNA, he's still part of the family, and then when he's done with TNA, then you do the retirement tour. Like, that's the rationale. I don't think it's happening. I think he's going straight. I think his music's gonna hit at Royal Rumble. That's my theory.
Let's go to this final chunk of WWE stuff. Xavier Woods and Eric missed a battle royal on Raw due to vacation. Pre-planned vacation. How about that? Not with each other, just with their own
Nice.
separate family. Samantha Irvin, former WWE announcer, said 1 year down, 1 year left on her WWE non-compete. And that got a lot of people talking. 2 year non-compete for a ring announcer in a backstage interview. It's like, okay. Lillian Garcia announced a new WWE contract. Sol Ruka, Zarya, and Javon Evans all wrestled on SmackDown. So more NXT talent coming up, and we'd see more of that ahead. Mel and Miz broke up. Chelsea Green re-signed a contract with the company. Summer Rae, I put this in here because her head is, I see this at least two, three times a year. She wants to be in so badly. And they're just not interested at all. So Charles Manson, this is a weird one. This was from Freddie Prinze, the newsbreaker. Charles Manson apparently wanted to meet Bray Wyatt. There you go. Company revealed their newest performance center rookie class, Titus O'Neil, saying he feels safer in Saudi Arabia than most places in the US. I got people talking. Jade Cargill turned against Tiffany Stratton, and of course, the title match being set for November Saturday night's main event. Liv Morgan's alleged stalker would not stand trial until 2026. WWE announced a new partnership with Play Mobile Toys. D-Von Dudley, as I mentioned this earlier, accused Jim Ross of racism in an Attitude Era incident. Hall of Famer Ike Rotunda initially was said to be in hospice. Not the case, recovering from a heart attack. Two different things completely. Three new indie prospects joined the ID program. I see this headline at least once a year. Oscar responding to Goldberg's Some Girl comment about breaking a streak. Yeah. Tiffany Stratton reached a new milestone for the WWE Women's Championship, the 300-day mark. The company released this WrestleMania 42 promo video. If you remember, excuse me, getting all choked up about this, is the show The Footsteps walking in. And everyone's like, oh, is this Gunther? Who is this coming back? Someone's coming back. And it just turned out to be Triple H.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other dudes in their 40s, which I'm a dude in my 40s. I get it. Yeah. But everyone's around. It's like, wow, you're real youth movement in this WrestleMania 42 promo video. That was quite a thing. And the company confirmed John Cena's final Raw appearance and also released a poster for Deadline as well. Thoughts about any of that?
You know, the Charles Manson thing is pretty funny. So I had a distant cousin when I was a kid who got jammed up for killing a guy in a trying to knock off a liquor store, and he killed the guy, right? And he got sent to Corcoran Prison in California. And at the time, that's where Charles Manson was at. And I was told this story when I was a kid, and I went through my entire life telling this story, that when my cousin got there, Charles Manson had a television set put into his cell, and it said, courtesy of Charles Manson. I believed that story for 30 years, right? And I went around telling that story. My distant cousin gets released from prison finally. And so I was like, I don't know him personally. We've never met, but we have our cousin, like they know each other. So I said, hey, you have to ask Daniel this question. Like, did this really happen? And he's like, no, somebody made that up. That never happened. I've never met Charles Manson. We were not even in the same prison at the same time. I was like, well, shit. I've been telling that story my whole life.
That's great. That's awesome.
The rest of it, not really much on the Devon Dudley thing accusing Jim Ross of racism. That caught me by surprise.
Yep.
And then I got a DM from somebody that knows Jim Ross and is like, that is not surprising at all. And Jim Ross has kind of been a terror the last bunch of years to some folks. So I was like, really? That makes no sense at all. He seems like the sweetest old man, but apparently not. So I think more stuff's going to come out on Jim Ross eventually.
Oh, boy. Heard it here first. Let's see. Let's go through a month in Japan. And, of course, King of Pro Wrestling for New Japan. Kenosuke Takeshita winning the IWGP World title from Zack Sabre Jr. Siri won the IWGP Women's title. Evil won the NEVER Openweight title. And Yosuji winning the global title. Hiroshi Tanahashi tag team match was official for his final appearance for Pro Wrestling NOAH. Doki won the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title at the Road to King of Pro Wrestling. New Japan announced their first international show 2026. I mean, if you can't stay in Lowell, you might as well go to Trenton, New Jersey in the month of February. I mean, who among us? New Japan announcing Aaron Wolf's opponent for his Wrestle Kingdom debut, that being Evil. They revealed the teams for the Super Junior Tag Team League. They announced matches for New Japan Hiroshi Tanahashi Final Homecoming Show. Kenosuke Takeshita returning to DDT for several November appearances. This headline, I mean, former Marigold referee found dead after a bear attack. I mean, who is not, who cannot stop to read that? Shinsuke Nakamura gave a shout out to Tanahashi at a WWE house show, of course, in Japan. Hank and Tang set to make their Pro Wrestling NOAH debut. CMLL and Stardom announced the official business partnership. There was an update, again, talking about Wrestle Kingdom. Who's going to be Hiroshi Tanahashi's final opponent? And there was some talk that could it be Shinsuke Nakamura. So there was a little bit of buzz about that. Obviously, that will not happen. But there was some talk about how would that work. First team advanced in the Super Junior Tag League Finals, that being Doki and Sho. And Hank and Tank were set again to challenge for the GHC Tag Team titles. And Io Sky versus Mayu Iwatani was set to actually happen during Marigold Grand Destiny. Io Sky winning that match. Thoughts about any of that?
I mean, the biggest story, I think, was Takeshita winning the IWGP title, and he's going to be taking it into Wrestle Kingdom and defending it against the Yota Tsuji title for title, right? They're going to the global title was just created, but they're already going to combine it with the IWGP title. I think that's still happening, right?
I'm not sure, but I mean, look, AEW did the unified title, and now they're going to ununify them probably. So it's just everyone has a title now. It's just like it's that meme, the Oprah meme, all over again.
So you know that was the biggest story coming out of it, and it's you know an AEW guy winning the IWGP title again. They had Moxley win it before, and the troubling thing is that Takeshita really could be like the next big New Japan star. He could be their top guy, but unfortunately he's under an AEW contract. But I think he's more useful in New Japan right now. And but you know he's going to stick with the AEW money because they're paying him a lot more. But you know I hope that Takeshita passes the title to Yota Tsuji. I think they need a new star there in New Japan. They can't just live off of AEW stars, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of New Japan fans, I have learned of, are not happy with AEW. You know, they think they're stealing all their talent, as if Okada had no choice, and Tony Khan had a gun in his head and just like, no, you're going to sign this deal. You know, like
Yeah,
it takes two to tango.
I know I love bringing that up because you know they're saying that WWE is kind of raiding TNA and abusing TNA by signing their talent. WWE signed three. So, well, no, two, actually two, just Joe Hendry and Jordan Grace in like the 2 years they've been partners. Well, AEW has signed like countless people from New Japan, and guess what? That's not abusive. That is not predatory. That is business contracts come due. If you're the smaller company in a relationship with a bigger company, and one of your people, their contracts are coming due, like they're gonna go. You know, Okada worked those dates for AEW, and he saw the catering, and he saw how bright those lights were, and how many people were there, and how he's being treated. He's like, of course he's gonna go. Like he's gonna go. They have to go. It makes sense to go. But just as a New Japan fan, I'd kind of like Takeshita to just stay with New Japan. You know, Tony got a lot of heat for the Nakamura thing because they're putting that on his doorstep that Tony put the kibosh on Nakamura wrestling Tanahashi, which was ridiculous. Like he would ever do that. But that was funny how that whole thing played out.
That happened a lot this year with the Lex Luger WWE Hall of Fame speech, and there was something else too. But a lot of just like, well, what's Tony going to do? It's like, well, what he should just say no. You know, like he did one favor for WWE once, and he gets shit on during the Hall of Fame ceremonies. You know, like when we let Billy Gunn attend, it's like everyone's just like, well, he should do it. Like, why? He doesn't like. There's no reciprocal thing coming from him. You know, and he's not. If he does that, he just puts himself down with like everyone else. You know, number three, number four, number five. You know, that's something that MLW do, not AEW.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's go through the junk drawer, which is the best of everything else that did not fit above. Shayna Baszler was announced for a new indie date. Again, questions about her future and what she'd be doing. Talked about Eddie Kingston also heading to the Indies for an indie appearance in November. Leon Slater, we just talked about him, missing a RevPro event due to a scheduling change. And that, of course, also happened with Saturday Night's main event coming this past week. And he's getting the big dates. He's got to take them. Mercedes Moné won her 10th title belt and also her 11th title belt. And again, we lost track. Announced for an indie show in Denmark. She filed for a new trademark, which is Ultimo Moné. She also was set to defend an indie title in Italy. So everywhere she goes, it's a vacation, and she comes away with a title. LJ Cleary, an indie wrestler, set to miss the rest of the year with an injury. Sting's son, Stephen Borden, I should say, made his pro wrestling debut against Darby Allin and Killer Kross in New York City. Raja Jackson, this was such a crazy story, talking about
Oh,
this in
terrible.
the August episode with the whole Psycho Stew attack, set to face two charges there. Took months for them to figure this all out. Knox Pro announced procedure changes following the incident. I mean, I don't know what procedure change you can make. Basically, don't do this, you know, like just the whole thing. He pleaded not guilty, of course, to the attack, and Psycho Stew's in-ring career was said to be done after this attack. Insane. It's still insane this day to watch this. Gable Stevenson, speaking about throwing hands, former WWE NXT wrestler, got a dominant victory in his boxing debut, and his path to UFC seems to be pretty clear. Eddie Guerrero's daughter, Cheryl Lynn, began her career in the ring training. The former Wesley set his date for return to the Indies after being released, or is our contract not renewed? I can't remember which one it was. Killer Kross set to return to MLW in November. Matt Riddle turned heel at MLW Slaughterhouse. Paul Walter Hauser, who was all over the place this year, wanted a multi-promotion mega show to counter the WWE WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia. Dark Side of the Ring was renewed for a seventh season. Raven revealed he was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's. I have a CML All-Star underwent successful knee injury. I don't know the name, so we'll figure that out in a minute. Again, Roger Jackson pleaded not guilty, and I talked about this. Oh, Rikishi underwent unexpected surgery. And then ECW founder Todd Gordon. Everyone talks about Paul Heyman, but obviously people that know that Todd Gordon was a big part of this as well, he was hospitalized during this month. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, the Roger Jackson story is, you know, right up there with among the craziest stories that happened in the month. I when I watched that video, I just couldn't believe it. And I think even more puzzling is him pleading not guilty. It's like, dude, we can see you. Like, the video is clear. Like, you're literally attempting to murder a dude.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, look, the guy smashed a beer can on his head. And no one's claiming that Psycho Stu's a genius, but you know, I don't know. Yeah, like you said, I don't know what Knox Pro procedures they can make. Like, make sure that your wrestlers are not drinking beer in the back before the matches, and make sure that, you know, you fully vet the outsiders that you're bringing in. Clearly the guy, I can't remember the guy with the cowboy hat was like, you know, riling Roger Jackson up, and then he's reading all his video comments, you know, because he does his live streaming with his dad, and the whole thing is just a mess. I think that guy should go away for a long time because he literally tried to kill a guy in front of people.
You hear what Rampage Jackson said about him? So he's talking about his family, right? Yeah. And he said that I have college funds set aside for X amount of kids, but for Raja, I have bail money set aside for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he knew that guy was up to no good.
Yeah.
Gable, speaking of criminals, Gable Steveson. Yeah. You know, I watched his boxing debut, and then I've seen him do some of his MMA stuff. I think he is going to be a big star in the UFC.
Yeah.
He really is. And I made the joke about him being a criminal, but, you know, there was a lot more to that story. He ends up that all the charges got dropped, so he's not technically a criminal, but, I think that his path to the UFC, like you said, is clear. And he's, I would say within the next couple of years might be the UFC World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, yeah.
For because the heavyweight division is pretty freaking weak, so I think they're like they get him in there, and you know, within a few matches he's probably getting a title shot for sure.
I'd agree. And the CML star was Zandokan Jr., something like that.
The legend, yeah.
Yes, the legend. Let's go to the rest of this chunk. Sir Mo, remember him from WWE days, passed away, 58 years old. MVP says talked with Batista about turning his life story into a movie. Art Anderson, set to appear in an MLW event. Killer Cross released a new documentary, opened up as WWE contract negotiations and everything falling apart. Just a story. I with all respect to him, I just don't care. You know, it was so much Killer Cross this year. It was crazy. I think I'm over. Good Brothers set to make their MLW debut. Again, something I really don't care about. Nick Gage currently in treatment, and Brett Lauderdale of GCW revealing that said he was pulled off future indie dates. Of course, not with GCW in the ring. Jintala was released by WWE as announced for his, or I don't know if this is a man or a woman. I have no idea who Jintala is. I'm going to be completely honest. Released, announced for their first post-WWE appearance. WrestleCon, the collective, partnering for a WrestleMania week events during in 2026. Abdullah the Butcher reportedly hospitalized and was, but he was said to be doing better. Marco Stunt, this is funny, now working as a car salesman and for this promo video, and it was like, okay, I like this. And he got a lot of praise for it in terms of just, you know, doing like honest work and actually trying to like kind of play into it, you know, and I think that was pretty good. Anyone that saw that, CMLL crowned their 2025 Women's International Grand Prix winner, that being Persephone. The Smashing Machine, which I enjoyed, did the lowest box office of The Rock's career and are doing $20 million overall, which is crazy. But I thought it was a fun movie. Ron Simmons was inducted into the Georgia High School Football Hall of Fame, where this MLW Don Gato Tequila live special, of course, a big thing, you know, Danny McBride owns his tequila company, all this stuff. I don't think he's appeared on a show ever, but they're practically just dragging like a cardboard cutout of him, just saying, He knows us.
It's Kenny Powers. He's our friend.
That's right. He loves us. Two matches are at Triple A's Day of the Dead. Blue Diva Jr. was involved in a car accident and was pulled from an upcoming indie appearance. Maple Leaf Pro raised $110,000 for people living with developmental disabilities. CJ Perry. Everyone has a podcast, Mike. CJ Perry has one. Her first guest, no big surprise, her husband. I mean, this is what happens with all these stars. If they have a famous spouse, it's like they're always the first guest. and they talk about, you know, stuff that no one talks about. Art Anderson, as we talked about him, for that MLW match, managing his son for that. And Bandido suffered a shoulder injury during a CML match, or did he? Some question about whether it was actually just a really good sell job because he sold it in AEW and made it part of matches and things like that. So some question about whether it was legit or just a work. Jinder Mahal underwent surgery. John Moxley was announced for an indie show. I believe that was Defy. Former wrestler, WWE wrestler Ahmed Johnson, remember him? Suffered broken ribs in a scary car crash. And Florida said they're renaming a trail to honor Hulk Hogan, who was always known for taking a walk. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, Hogan known for his cardio.
Yeah. Get out there, brother.
It's funny. You say that like you don't care about the Killer Cross stuff. I was just so over the Killer Cross stuff. And, you know, a lot of that was just being played up by his friends in the media. Like, he's very friendly to a lot of publications. And they were starting this whole thing, trying to, you know, get him like a new contract, get him push, give Cross a chance, you know, like that, like those hashtags.
Give Cross a chance.
And then he released the documentary. I didn't watch any of it.
Yeah.
And to show how little I care about the Good Brothers right now, they ran an indie show in October. They did an indie show 20 minutes from my house in a town called Rock Hill, South Carolina. And I literally passed it on my, it's right next to where my nieces play soccer at the soccer field in a little rinky dink, gymnasium for gymnastics. And I was there, I drove past the parking lot. I was like, I could just drop the kids off and then come right back and watch the show. But I was like, I can't do it. Like, it's like, you know, it's like, you know what? Yeah. It might go late. I might stay up past 10. You know, I don't want to do that. You know, it was like, I made excuses, but if it was somebody that I really cared about, I would have been there. But the funny thing about that announcement for them to make their MLW debut is they were supposed to make their debut earlier in the summer. And MLW put out a whole video of like these guys in silhouettes drinking beers. And like it was the Good Brothers, and said coming in June or coming in July. Well, when they scrapped it and they waited a few months, they re-released that vignette and they still announced it as June or July. It was the whole same thing. You just didn't edit it. Awesome. Which was pretty funny. And then we called them out on it and they pulled it down. That's pretty hilarious. And lastly, the legend himself, Arn Anderson's son, Brock Anderson, got pushed to the world title main event in MLW and then immediately left the company and is now in TNA. So there you go.
Is he really in TNA?
He debuted in El Paso at their final tapings. Yeah, him and C.W. Anderson, they're bringing them in as a tag team. They worked all three tapings. Oh. I don't know that he signed there, but he definitely left MLW and is working there in TNA. I don't know that they're going to keep him around, but, you know, C.W. Anderson's obviously got the relationship with Tommy Dreamer, who's their talent relations guy, and looks like they're getting a shot as a tag team in TNA.
Interesting, huh? We'll see how that turns out. Well, we've made it through the entire month of October. And not a lot of talk about Halloween other than Halloween Havoc or anything like that. But yeah, it was another fun month. And of course, before we let you go, let's get some plugs in. Where can people hear you, see you, feel you? The floor is yours.
Yeah. So the best way to support our podcast, the Mike and JD Show and Brace for Impact, we got two podcasts per week, is to go to patreon.com/themikeandjdshow. That's where you get all the premium content. I do Q&As on there. Me and JD, we like to watch old wrestling matches. Right now we're going through a Starrcade series where we're watching different Starrcade matches, and we just do a watch along on there because Patreon still kind of the Wild West. Like, you can just upload the whole video. So we'll pull it up on StreamYard and we have it up and you can watch the match right along with us, kind of like Mystery Science Theater type.
Yep.
We've even watched movies on Patreon before where we watched They Live, and we uploaded the whole movie to Patreon. Might be illegal, so come in and join us until it gets pulled down by the man. So we're doing stuff like that. Our YouTube channel is really growing. It's grown significantly since last time we talked. We're closing in on 3,000 subs, which is pretty good for a small channel like us.
Wow.
So support us on YouTube. Again, two live shows a week that we're doing, the Mike and JD Show, and of course, Brace for Impact. If you heard me like saying some inside stuff occasionally I get some of that and I talk about it on Brace for Impact. I don't get any inside stuff for anybody else, but I've had some good TNA scoops here in the last year or so. I get random DMs sometimes, and I'm not a very good journalist. So I don't know how to vet the information, but I do talk about it. So come and support the show. It's a good time, especially if you're a TNA fan, or if you're not a TNA fan, come join the show anyway. Hear me get myself into trouble. I got lectured by Jimmy Corderas for saying that I wanted everybody in TNA fired after Mike Santana lost his title. But that is just me showing my passion.
And where can people follow you on social?
Oh, at Mike Gilbert 311. I brought up Omaha Styly, of course, the 311, the famous
down
Omaha,
yeah,
Nebraska. So at Mike Gilbert 311 on Twitter. I am not a blue sky guy. I'm not there yet. My feelings don't get hurt, so I'm staying on Twitter. So just follow me there.
Well, amber is the color of your energy, Mike Gilbert, and we're glad to have you back once again. And yeah, hopefully it won't be another few years till we have you back, and we'll do this again. Mike Gilbert, thanks so much.
Thank you, man. Take care.
All right. Big thanks to Mike Gilbert for stopping by, and a big thanks to all of you for listening to this series, sharing the series, whatever you're doing. I greatly appreciate it. And happy holidays to you. Again, you survived Christmas, and if you're celebrating Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you're celebrating, we are almost at the end of 2025. Hard to believe. So next week, being the week of New Year's Eve week, I don't even know what day it is. These midweek holidays really screw me up completely. But anyway, so we have November and December left to go in this series. And November is going to come up next week. December might be the week next weekend, I think. We're recording on Friday. Me and the good brother, Paul Fontaine, we're recording that, I believe, next Friday. Or, yeah, next Friday. So we'll talk all about that in month of December. And, yeah, a lot of things happening. A lot of things happening. But you have a lot of choice in your podcast day. I greatly appreciate the time you spend with me or any of the fine podcast hosts here on WrestlingObserver.com. And until next week, insert catchphrase here.